Folks tuned to yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Welcome to an hour of variety, brought to us by the Kraft Music Hall, featuring Bing Crosby. Sort of a light year for him on the air in terms of appearances on major network programs, though his music was often heard. Following this episode, he would appear again on radio 6 months later on the Lux Radio Theater and an adaptation of the 1934 picture She Loves Me Not, which he starred in, which was nominated for an Oscar for Best Music and Original Song, Love in Bloom, which would end up being Jack Benny's theme song. This episode of the Kraft Music Hall was first heard on NBC on May 27, 1937.
The Kraft Music Hall, starring Bing Crosby with Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra, the Paul Taylor Choristers, and tonight, back from his 2 weeks fishing trip, Bob Burns. And as Bing's special guest this evening, one of the screen's most charming comedians, Miss Zazu Pitts, Miss Gail Patrick, star of Paramount Pictures, and Rudolph Gans, one of America's leading pianists. And here's Bing Crosby.
Just when romance got a start, you decided it was time to part. How could you? How could you? It was on a night like this. You left me, didn't leave me a kiss. How could you? How could you? You know that love is just like apple pie. It's either sweet or tart, huh? You could be the apple of my eye. You upset the apple cart. I was looking forward to all the little things you didn't do. How could you break my heart? Either sweet or tart, huh? You could be the apple of my eye. You upset the apple cart. I was looking forward to all the little things you didn't do. How could you break my heart?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is, just like Ken told you, Bing Crosby in the Old Kraft Music Hall. Advising you that we have cause indeed for rejoicing here in the hall tonight. Not only are we happy to welcome such visiting alumni as Miss Zazu Pitts, one of the cinema's most valued comedians, and Mr. Rudolph Gans, the eminent pianist who divides his time between the Chicago Musical College and the Kraft Music Hall. Miss Gail Patrick, one of Hollywood's most charming leading ladies, has also dropped around to help us make the welcome ring for tonight, friends, thrill of thrills, your friend, my friend, everybody's friend, the people's choice. A man who in his career in office has discharged every public duty. A man who has faced the iniquitous slurs of his adversaries without flinching. Our own dear Robin Burns, the gentleman from Van Buren, Arkansas, is with us once more, complete with folding bazooka, and I might add a very stylish coat of tan.
Yeah, Bing, and I want to tell you it goes clear down past the high water mark.
You took your collar off, huh?
Yeah, and let down my shoulder strap.
What? You did what? Bob, the ladies.
I let down my shoulder strap.
Ah, the ladies, Bob.
Well, Bing, they just got to excuse me. You know, I don't just know what I'm saying. I'm,
Well, this tender reunion, I guess, has left us both a little emotionally unstrung.
Yeah, ain't it the truth? You know, I'm just trembling like a leaf. Look at that.
2 weeks is a long time, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, Bing and I decided to take a 2 week vacation, and I thought it'd be a long time, but it just went like that.
Went just like that. Mm-hmm. Well, you might have enjoyed yourself, Bob, but really we've missed you.
Honest, Bing?
On the level, Bob, that comes straight from the ticket.
Well, to tell you the truth, Bing, you know, I'd never been able to stay away 2 weeks if a miracle hadn't happened.
Well, you've aroused my curiosity. Give us the miracle.
Well, I was sitting fishing the first Thursday I was away. I was thinking of you here in the Kraft Music Hall when all of a sudden I thought I heard you singing.
That must have spoiled your whole day, huh?
No, sir. At first I thought maybe there was a radio turned on somewhere, but then I knew that couldn't be. And then my hearing you singing must you know, just must have been my imagination, because pretty soon the fish, you know, they come up, and they wasn't a bit scared.
You weren't scared at all?
No, sir. No, sir.
You know, lulled them?
No, sir. No, sir. You won't believe this, but Bing, down there in the water was the sweetest little trout you ever saw.
Well, what's that got to do with you hearing my singing?
Well, sir, Bing, this little fish was sticking his little head right up out of the water. You know how fish do.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of blowing bubbles and going boo, 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 boo at me. I want to tell you, Bing, I pretty near cried.
Well, those things happen, old boy, out here in India. Strange, uncanny things, but chin up, carry on.
Yeah, but Bing, that little fish was just looking up out at me, you know, out of his great big blue eyes, just like you're looking at me now.
Mm.
Turn your head, Bing. I can't stand it. Honest, Bing, I just didn't have the heart to hook him.
Oh, the trouble with you, Bob, is you're just an old softy.
Well, I guess maybe I am, but then when it comes time to go home, Bing, Bing, that day, you know, the little fish just started wagging his tail.
Mm-hmm. What was his name? What'd you call him?
I call him Crosby.
Crosby?
Mm-hmm. That's what I call him, Crosby. Yes, sir. He wagged his little tail at me, and he said, boo, 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 until I just had to take it with me.
Mm.
And all the way back to camp, and all night long, he just kept wagging his tail and saying, boo, 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 at me,
boo-boo-boo,
until there was only one thing left for me to do.
You brought him here?
No, no, I ate him for breakfast.
Well, that certainly should have put a stop to his boo-boo-boo-booing.
No, sir, Bing, it didn't.
He continued to boo-boo-boo?
Yes, sir, once before I ate him and twice after.
Just shows you, Bob, that crooners are characteristically persistent. But take a chair and see if you can sleep it off. I want you to leave a call, however, because I want to celebrate your return tonight with our friend Zazu Pitts. She's agreed to play a little drama for us here in the hall. Memory serves me well. This is the first time Zazu has appeared in a really dramatic role since the silent days of the cinema, when her performance in the motion picture Greed was one of the dramatic and emotional highlights of the motion picture industry. Tonight, in a tableau vivant, especially prepared for presentation. Wait, what's wrong with that? Especially prepared for presentation in the hall, Zazu Pitts essays the difficult dramatic role of Queen Isabella of Spain.
Well, I've always wanted to be a crooner.
A crooner?
Oh, it's my own idea.
You know, I've always wondered if Queen Isabella was a crooner or not.
Of course, when I say it's my own idea, well, I mean to say I got the idea just now from Bob Burns' fish that went boo, 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 boo.
Oh, naturally.
I feel that anything a fish can do, I can do.
Well, maybe you can, but somehow or other, I just can't picture you jumping 4 feet out of the water to catch a fly.
I always think it's better to use flypaper.
Well, tonight, like I was saying, Miss Zazu Pitts will be heard for the first time in her life.
Crooning.
That's fine. You know, it's the strangest thing, Bob, when a person is outstanding in one thing. I don't know if you ever noticed this or not, but it looks like she always wants to try something different. You know, comedians want to play Juliet, and world-famous concert artists want to play the bazooka.
Yeah, and you want to run horses. And,
yeah.
You'd like for them to run anyhow, wouldn't you, Bing?
And
Zazu wants to croon.
Exactly. Now, tell me, why should a lovely, charming, whimsical personality like you, Zazu, why should you want to croon? Why don't you give up the idea?
Well, Bing, maybe you're right. Maybe it is a mistake.
It's all settled, then.
Yes, it's all settled. I'm going to sing.
Bing, the lady is going to sing.
Wait, let's talk to her a little more.
Yeah, you've had your chance. Now, let me talk to her. Now, listen, Zazu, you know, we've got a good hot singer here in the hall now.
But I'm a sweet singer.
You're sure of that?
Oh, I couldn't be mistaken. I sang for Walter Wanger. From what he said, I'm sure I'm a sweet singer.
What did Walter say?
He said, you're not so hot.
Well, nevertheless, and notwithstanding, friends, we are going to present Zazu Pitts as Queen Isabella of Spain.
You know, I used to know all the words to Come to Me, My Melancholy Baby.
Bing, you know, I've always said, thank you. I've always said that when a woman gets her mind made up to do something, don't try to cross her. Now, you go ahead and croon, Zazu, if you want to, and I'll start it off on my bazooka.
I was afraid of that.
Now, I can tell you that thing's not going to help me one bit.
Well, it don't exactly send me either, Zay.
Could you just hum a little Bing and get me started?
Well, we struggle to please. Swing out on this. Come to me, my melancholy babe.
Oh, that's enough. You can stop now. Come to me, my melancholy baby.
You know, Bing, that's all I needed to make me appreciate how pretty you sing.
Thanks, Robin, but quiet, please.
Oh, that's all right. I'll go right on. Usually people don't let me get that far. Cuddle up and don't be blue.
Hey, wait a minute. Pardon me, Zaza. What is giving you this sudden urge to maltreat poor melancholy baby?
Well, I'm about to make a picture for Mr. Wanger.
Oh, yes, he's the fellow who said you sang sweet.
Yes, and he's making a picture called 52nd Street. And they're writing a song in it that I'm supposed to sing. It's called 23 Skidoo.
Oh, boy, sure a keen title.
It's the new slang. I'm supposed to sing it with a man.
Want to sing it with a man? Anybody we know?
I really couldn't say it. One man one day and another man the next. It's been going on like that for weeks. All your tears are foolish fancies, maybe.
You know, I can see why they might have trouble finding a singer for that part.
Oh, Bob, you're so understanding. You know, dear, that I'm in love with you.
At this point, friends,
people wouldn't always intrude when I'm singing. Every cloud must have a silver lining.
Oh, wait until the sun shines through.
Attaboy, Bing, let yourself go, boy.
Smile, my honey dear, while I kiss away each tear.
Duck, Bing, here comes the last line.
Well, before the last white line is crossed, take it, Ken.
Tonight, the Kraft Music Hall presents Miss Zazu Pitts as Queen Isabella of Spain. It is the seething year of 1492.
Now, you're not going to remember things that happened that long ago, are you, Bing?
May I remind you, Zazu, that you're playing a queen.
Oh, dear. Should I have played the ace?
Da-dee-da-da.
Zazu Pitts as Queen Isabella. Bing Crosby as King Ferdinand. Robin Burns as Christopher Columbus.
Nice casting.
The scene, the breakfast nook in the royal palace. The king speaks.
Morning, Queenie. What's doing?
Just middling. The royal treasurer tells me the royal bankroll looks kind of station housey.
Yeah, verily, it is true. Is there an egg in the house for breakfast?
Methinks I heard the royal hen give out a quick cackle as they am. How'll you have it?
Well, sure, with a little sauce Robert.
You better take it scrambled. The way I cook them, they always come out that way anyway. We Bourbons never could seem to hold an egg together.
I don't know. Bourbon holds an eggnog together pretty good.
Oh. Knock, knock, knock.
Who can that be knocking at this early hour, sire?
'Tis I, Christopher Columbus, here on the wings of the morning, humbly asking your majesties to grant me an audience and listen to my plea.
Looks like a touch. Isabel, shall we give him here?
That's all we got to give, Ferdy. But tell him to spill it.
Okay, Iz. What plays, Chris?
Well, now, you know, I believe the world is round, and I'd like to prove it.
Why, don't be silly, Christopher. Everybody knows the world is flat as a pancake.
Well, the world ain't as flat as I am right now. If I wasn't flat, I'd prove the world's round. You know, I'd get me three or four ships and a bunch of men and sail west until I got back to where I started from.
Well, what's the use of going?
Now, listen, your majesties, I've always been a loyal subject, and just to prove my loyalty, I'm going to borrow some money from you.
I have nothing but the crown jewels.
Well, now, they ought to fetch about 500 florins. That'll buy me three boats with which to get to America.
You could get the royal suite and the Queen Mary for 500 florins.
Well, now, what I'm trying to get at, Wilkes, give me the dough.
My crown jewels are all my husband's got. But they're yours, brave Christopher Columbus.
Listen, Chris, if you get more than $3 for those clinkers, I'm a journeyman plumber.
Yeah, a lively trade, Your Majesty. And you, Queen, what have you got to say?
Oh, I wish you well, and a safe journey. Don't get seasick, and be sure to hurry back, or else I shall be melancholy, too.
Boy, I'll be doggone if she didn't sneak that last line in after all.
Well, I don't know, Bob. I think after all we won, Zazu did play Isabella.
Yeah, and croon, too.
Well, let's settle for a dead heat. A photograph finish. Anyhow, thank you, Zazu, for helping us celebrate Burns' return to the hall.
You're here, you're there, you're everywhere. You're here, you're there, you're everywhere. Your eyes in the moon, your lips in the rose, your voice in the air. And when you escape me, I fasten my eyes to a star. I sweep off the stardust, and suddenly there you are. You're here, you're there, you're everywhere. Your smile in the sun, your kiss in the breeze, your name in my prayer. This beautiful world, dear, full of your tender charm. You're here, you're there, but never in my
drafty halls and corridors of the old hall has been the echoing and the re-echoing of the fanfare and the heraldry that announced the coming of that most errant of knight errants, Sir Robin Burns of Van Buren, Arkansas, with news of the doings and old VB. So lower the drawbridge, Jimmy. Hoist the portcullis. Sir Robin approaches. Very, very stylish piece of portcullis lifting, James. Robin, tell me, how were the Loch Levens and the Dolly Vardens? How are they biting up in the high Sierras?
Bing, I've got a confession to make to you.
What's this?
I didn't go near the high Sierras on my vacation.
Are you kidding?
No, I spent every bit of my time up in the state of Washington.
Well, I think you did better at that, probably.
Yes, sir. That's where you came from, you
know?
That's
my stamping ground.
I know that. That's the reason I went. And that's
see any of my friends up
that's
there?
The reason I got a confession. You know, for the past 2 years, you've been standing around here laughing at my kinfolk.
Yeah.
And I just went up there to...
I think I'll go and get a drink of water.
No, I went up there to see some of your kinfolks, and I saw them, and boy, I want to tell you, you've got some dillies.
You'll find me, Bob, if I...
No, you stay here, Bing. Don't you run away now, because...
Stay here and take it, huh?
Yeah, stay here and take it. I want to tell you something about your folks. You haven't seen them lately. The first one I called on when I got up there was your Uncle Mo Crowley. I got out to his house at dinner time, and all the grown folks is in the dining room eating. So I went in the parlor where the children were waiting in there for the second table, and to wait till the old folks got through. And I noticed that the parlor was just plumb full of pigs. And I asked your cousin Lillis, I asked him, I said, what are all them pigs doing in the parlor? And he says, well, we try to raise these pigs upright and mannerly. And says, Mama always runs them out of the dining room so they can't see Papa eating. But we could hear the grown folks in the dining room kind of chomping on the food. But I noticed every once in a while there was a whistle. There'd be a... And then a kind of a scrambling sound, and after a while, and another scrambling sound. And I asked your cousin Lillis what the whistling was about. And he says, well, he says, Papa used to eat up all the biscuits. Said he'd cram them in his mouth without chewing on them, and nobody else would get any. So we had to make a rule here that you have to chew the biscuit up and swallow it and have your mouth empty enough so you can whistle before you reach for it. I want to tell you that the way I figure it, your kin folks are just about four times as funny as mine. Now, you always laugh when I mention my Aunt Boo. How about your own Aunt Boo-Boo-Boo-Boo? That's the one, you know her. I want to tell you, that's the one that you told me was an artist. You said that every time she saw a beautiful piece of landscape or beautiful work of nature, her face would light up. But Bing Crosby, you did tell me that the reason her face lit up so easy is because she's lantern-jawed. I want to tell you, Bing, I want to tell you, you ain't been fair about this thing at all. Now, you used to laugh when I talk about my Grandpa Snazzy's store down home. I want to tell you, I went out to see the store that's run by your uncle. And your uncle, Timothy O'Hooey. Boy, there is a store. How a man could put so much merchandise in a little store like that, I don't know. Honestly, he had so much merchandise in that little store that he hung his straw hats and his halibut on the same hook. And then another thing, but I'll tell you one thing, Bing. I'll say one thing in all fairness to your family. They do all wear shoes. That's a fact. Nice, high, yellow button ones. And I said to your cousin Dillard, I said, where did you get the idea of the button shoes? And he says, well, we, you know, us boys, we all try to dress like Cousin Bing. They tell us he's the best dressed man in Hollywood. And one of them says he is sure, boy, he's just as hot as a bandit's pistol. That's what your folks think of you. They say you're sharp as a tack up there. But I ask him where he got the idea for his button shoes, and he says, well, says Cousin Bing never would write us and tell us whether he wore lace shoes or button ones. But one night we heard him sing, one, two, button my shoe, and we caught on. But I never saw a family that really doted on shoes like Bing's family, honestly. They say it dates back way back there. They get that from his grandpa Bunyan Crowley. They tell me that when grandpa was just a boy, he put on a pair of shoes for the first time. And the first day he put them on, he started to limp. Every day he got to limping worse, but he just wouldn't give up. He just determined that he was going to master them shoes. And he kept wearing them year after year. And finally, just not long ago, just before I got up there, he got to limping so bad he couldn't walk at all. And they carried him down to the doctor's, to a foot specialist, and he took his shoe off and examined Grandpa's foot and found out that he's been walking around for 70 years with a marble between his toes. Now then, I did, of course, do a little bit of fishing up there, but I'm going to tell you about that next week. But tonight, I am going to dedicate my number to that beautiful Puget Sound country. It's the prettiest country I ever saw in my life. I'm going to play The Land of the Sky Blue Water, if I can remember. Go ahead, Jimmy.
That was beautiful. That was really fine. I think I know what inspired it. I believe after spending your life around those muddy rivulets that aggravate the Arkansas hills, you came suddenly upon beautiful, crystalline, azure-like Puget Sound. and the urge welled up within you to play something fine. Is that right?
That's right, Bing. I couldn't say it that way.
You know, that takes me back to the days when I was just a nipper.
This is Bing Crosby in the Kraft Music Hall with Jimmy Dorsey and the Cats, Paul Taylor singers, Bob Burns, Rudolph Gans, one of the country's leading pianists, who, I'm warning you, has worked out a little something for himself and Bob to do. Mrs. Azu Pitts, who I hope you didn't come in too late to meet, but if you did, that'll just learn you to get here in time. And at the moment, Miss Gail Patrick, those of our clients who were fortunate enough to see New Universal's solid box office smash, My Man Godfrey, are already acquainted with my friend Gail Patrick. Gail being the gal who garnered considerable critical acclaim as Carol Lombard's sister and the rival for the affections of William Godfrey Powell. Of course, if your movie memory dates back a couple of years, you may recall that Gail Patrick and I had the honor of working together in support of W.C. Fields in a frothy little musical whimsy the Paramount people called Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. The year Alabama played Stanford, wasn't
it? Quiet, I don't want to hear any more about that. Cost me my shirt. Since then, and always by courtesy of Paramount, Gail Patrick has worked at almost every major studio in Hollywood. She's at present involved on the home lot in the manufacture of a little celluloid bauble, soon to be released to a waiting world under the intriguing title of Artists and Models. In my veiled way, what I'm inferring is that the movie moguls certainly keep Gail pretty busy.
Well, I've been awful lucky, too, Bing, and I've had a lot of fun.
It's nice to hear you've had a lot of fun, but I can't put in with you on that lucky business. People don't get parts in smash hit pictures like My Man Godfrey just by sheer luck.
Maybe most people don't, but I did, being, as I said, awful lucky.
Well, give us the formula for that kind of luck, will you?
Yeah, I could use a little of that.
Well, to begin with, I was scheduled to do a little Western over at Paramount.
You mean one of them rip-roaring horse operas like Two Gun Crosby plays in?
Yeah, but Two Gun wasn't slated to be in the one they had me in mind for.
Lady, you are lucky.
Next crack. Next crack. And Robin, what changed your plans, Gail?
I really don't know, Bing, but all of a sudden I found myself being sent out to Universal to do Godfrey with Gregory LeCarver.
Well, I've played plenty of golf with Greg, but I've never felt the sting of his directorial lash. Misha tells me his methods of making pictures are somewhat eerie.
Well, I should say bizarre, to
bizarre,
put it mildly.
That's a better word.
In the first place, Greg LeCarver never shoots a picture with a script.
That's so when he's half through with a picture, you don't have to shoot the script right.
Well, it's really a lot of fun, Bob, watching the dialogue work itself out as you go along.
That's where the fun comes in. Well, that sounds definitely like the hard way to me, making a six with two trays.
Oh, but it really isn't. Everyone has a synopsis of the story, and the dialogue's tailored to fit the way you and the character would talk naturally.
Later, there ain't a tailor living could fit the way Bing talks.
That's what you think. But if Bing were working with LeCarver, the tailoring job would amaze you.
Well, Bob could really pad his part then. He'd wind up with an eight-reel solo, unmolested.
Yeah, it'd be great for me, Bing, but nobody'd ever find out what you're trying to say.
Well, is that bad? People don't know what Einstein's talking about either, but he's a highly respected citizen.
Yeah, but he don't confuse the folks by crooning.
Pardon me, boys. Is this a private fight, or can anybody get into
Come in fighting, Gail, but carry your left high, because Burns is deadly tonight.
Say, don't it take an awful long time for LeCarver to find a picture that everybody's sitting around trying to think up funny lines for himself?
Well, the people LeCarver uses probably don't take as long to think up funny lines as you do, Robin.
Why, Bing Crosby, you know I'm quick.
Oh, you're not.
I am, too.
Yay.
I am.
That's just the sort of thing there ain't none of on a LeCarver. Everybody seems to know what Greg wants, and they all do their best to give it to him.
Just one big happy family.
It really is.
Well, what time in the morning does LeCarver bring his company around to your house to shoot the picture?
Oh, he lets you go to the studio to work.
Oh, the slave driver.
Well, I guess he sort of thought some of us might like to see the inside of a studio. But there's one thing about it. If LeCarver has you called for 9:20, you start to work at 9:20. There's none of that sitting around waiting for a couple of days.
Well, with none of that sitting around and waiting, how did any of the actors and Godfrey get time to read Gone with the Wind?
So he looked out for all that, too. Greg starts shooting promptly at 9 in the morning, but he stops promptly at 6 in the evening.
Well, that seems like a curious combination of orderliness and chaos. Shooting without a script and still keeping regular hours.
And keeping everybody happy and having a good time. It sounds disgusting, doesn't it?
No.
But honestly, as I said before, I've never worked on a picture where there was less display of temperament and petty jealousies than there were in Godfrey.
Well, maybe LeCarver's got the right recipe for making hit pictures.
Oh, I'm sure of that. He says you should never seem to be working for a hit picture. It makes everyone try too hard.
Easy gets it.
Huh? That's the motto.
Well, look, just so when Burns and I start producing and directing pictures, we know all LeCarver's tricks. Supposing you pretend you're Greg LeCarver directing a scene for My Man Godfrey.
I'd be glad to, but he'll probably get his revenge. I just was handed the glad tidings that Paramount loaned me to RKO for a part in Stage Door that Greg's directing. However, to get to Godfrey, I'll need a Bill Powell and a Carol Lombard.
A Carol? Well, dag nabbit, neither of them could make it this evening, but I'd be glad to play Carol.
Say, who wouldn't?
I'd be glad to take the part of Carol Lombard, and short of Bill Powell himself, you ain't never going to find a smoother Powell than Mr. Burns.
Okay, Bing, I think you have something there anyway. Now, I'm Gregory LaCava.
Yeah, Bing's Carol Lombard.
And Bob's Bill Powell. Now, go ahead, LaCava.
Here we go. Are you ready, Carol and Bill?
We're ready, you Simon LeGree.
Let's get going.
Well, here's the situation. Carol, you're a silly little girl who's really very, very much in love with your father's butler, Godfrey.
That's me.
Well, that's going to take some acting, but let's try it.
Now, wait just a minute. The conflict in the scene is this. There always has to be a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
Godfrey's really in love with you, Carol, but he won't give in. Mm-hmm. So you have to make love to him. You want to try?
I throw myself at him.
And I duck.
That's right. Let's go. This is a take.
Honest, Godfrey, I'm crazy about you. I don't know what to do. I want to follow you around like a dog. Kiss me, Godfrey. Kiss me.
Ah, you see. You see how silly you are. Don't you know there are germs in kisses?
Oh, willy-nilly. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. When I kiss hard enough to kill the germs.
Well. I want to tell you right now, you ain't going to smash any of my bugs.
Getting particular.
Honest, Godfrey, you ought to kiss me. Everybody says I'm a hot potato.
Well, I...
Kill me.
Yeah, well, I ain't no potato masher.
Cut!
How was it?
Well, that's just the sort of smooth, sophisticated dialogue we needed for that Western they took me out of.
Well, thanks. What's next?
I'll leave that up to you. Sing, Crosby.
Close your sleepy eyes, my little buckaroo. While the light of Western skies is shining down on you. Don't you know it's time for bed? Another day is through. So go to sleep, my little buckaroo. Don't you realize, my little buckaroo, it was from a little acorn that the oak tree grew. And remember, Buffalo Bill was once a kid like you. So go to sleep, my little buckaroo. Soon you're gonna ride the range like grown-up cowboys do. Now it's time that you were round enough a dream or two. So go to sleep, my little buckaroo.
It looks like Gail swung me into that little buckaroo so fast I didn't get time to thank her for the interesting little expose on the working methods of one of Hollywood's outstanding directors. Thank you, Gail. And will you drop around in the hall again sometime?
I'm going to hold you to that invitation, Bing.
You got a rain check.
Say, what are all the whispering conferences that have been going on around here between Rudolph Garnes and Bob Burns?
Well, since you broached the subject, Gail, you're going to get the full lowdown directly. As all our regular clients of the hall surely know, Rudolph Garnes, known to his intimate friends and paid-up alumni of the Kraft Music Hall as Rudy, has been playing piano in America for over 30 years. He is, in fact, the head man at the Chicago Musical College and has garnered himself considerable critical praise and prestige for having piloted the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra for a little matter of some 6 years, as well as guest conducted practically every top-flight symphony combo from the Hollywood Bowl to the stadium in New York City. As his first selection here this evening, Rudolph Garnes plays Franz Liszt's Forgotten Waltz. You remember it, Rudy? That was very, very lovely, Rudy. I think that surely constitutes as nice a piece of Forgotten Waltz remembering as we've seen around here in many a moon.
Thank you, Bing. Now, if it's all right, the same to you, Bob Burns and I have a little musical matter to go over together.
Hmm. Yeah, Bing, at last I've found a musician who really appreciates the bazooka.
That's funny. Funny thing, to look at Rudy, you'd swear he was all right. No outward indications of aberration. I got to demand my little pound of flesh from Ruby before he and Burns get off their little chalk talk.
Bing, you're only standing in the way of progress.
Well, I might be, but I'll give you 8-5. You and Rudy ain't going to do music any good when you get started. Fact is, friends, Rudy promised to get off a little of my favorite composer for me. That would, of course, be a melody by Claude Debussy. It's called Puerto del Vino.
What does that mean?
Port of the wine, or door to the wine, or tavern, or inn, or
gin mill.
nice title for a number by Claude Debussy.
Now, may I tell you how to pronounce Debussy's name?
What? You mean I got it wrong?
I'll show you on the piano.
He's going to sing it to you, Bing. Even Garnes turns out to be a crooner. You can't tell what's going to happen around here.
Now, listen, Bing. Here is how to pronounce the name of Claude Debussy. I heard the combat about his name a few weeks ago. And with all due respect to all those involved in that little free-for-all, I feel I must rush to the poor man's defense.
Well, naturally, I suppose as a member of the French Legion of Honor, you could do no less. How'd he like to have his name pronounced?
Like this. It is not Debussy, Debussy.
Debussy. But, how then?
Debussy. Debussy.
Debussy. Debussy, how's that?
I think I got it, Rudy.
Debussy. Debussy. Rudolph Gans playing Claude Debussy's Puerta del Vin. Thanks again, Rudy. And now, if you wish, I'll just step aside and you and Burns can have your little moment.
Yeah, and after you hear this, Bing, you won't care how to pronounce Debussy.
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 Yeah.
Rudy has written a lullaby for Bazooka.
Good night, all.
After all, Bing, why not? As I say to the students of the University of Kansas at Lawrence, I'm not a youngster in years, but I'm young musically. Mm-hmm. If Paul Whiteman can conduct the Philadelphia Symphony and Leopold Stokowski go into the movies, if George Gershwin can write a concerto for piano and orchestra and Ravel write a blues, if Yasha Heifetz can get his picture taken playing the accordion, why can't I write a lullaby for Bazooka?
Well, you got yourself into it. You wriggle out of it the best way you can. Just leave me out of there.
Yeah, he ain't got no soul for art, Rudy. Come on, let's bang out this number.
Here's Rudolph Gans, friends, and Robin Burns playing Rudolph Gans' latest composition, Lullaby for Bazooka. Oh, help.
Thank you.
Very, very touching, Bing. Really very touching indeed.
Thank you, Bing. But I'm afraid it was a little too successful. The bazooka has gone to sleep. The bazooka snoozes.
And you should have called it a snoozer for bazooka. Anyhow, we got rid of him. And thanks, Rudy, for a stimulating visit to the hall. Dr. Dorsey and his semi-classical cats are about to accomplish something that even Jack Benny couldn't handle. Jack messed around a little with Franz Schubert's The Bee, but Dr. Dorsey and his colleagues got a bee here that Jack probably couldn't even pronounce. Rimsky-Korsakov's idea of the love book, which old R.K. called The Flight of the Bumblebee. Dr. Dorsey himself carries the refrain on the E-flat alto. The tempo is, of course, molto accelerando. The result will, I'm sure, amaze and electrify you. Kick her over, Jim. Jimmy, that probably might better be titled The Fright of the Bumblebee, which gives us just the opportunity we're looking for to edge in a fellow whose life work is to carry on the business of the hall while we play and just make merry. Carry on the business right now, my friend.
Attention June brides and all other homemakers. Men folks, as you know, are fussy about food. But that doesn't mean that they want their food fussed up. You can often tempt them with the simplest fare, salads, for instance. Provided you know this new way to make your salads extra delicious. Just try a jar of Kraft's Miracle Whip salad dressing.
Where are you? Where have you gone without me? I thought you cared about me. Where is the dream we started? I can't believe we're parted. When we said goodbye, love, what had we to gain? When I gave you mine, was it all in vain? Life, must I go on pretending? Where is my happy ending? Where are you?
Well, that gives you all we had lying around the hall, but things accumulate pretty fast here in the Craft Music Hall, so we figure by next Thursday around this same time we'll have a lot more stuff to sort out and go over. Maybe some of them fit you. Besides yourself, we're expecting my friend Charlie Ruggles, who plays on the first team with Paramount, one of the world's leading illustrators, the justly famous McClellan Barclay, and Miss Natalie Bodania of the Metropolitan Opera Company. Looks like a nice little singing organization. These, of course, are over and above such regular hard help as Bob Burns, Jimmy and the Swingsters, and Paul Taylor Chorus. We'll see if you can make it next Thursday. Don't forget, we're setting a place for you. Good night.
The Kraft Music Hall, announced by Ken Carpenter, comes to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
The Kraft Music Hall, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from May 27th, 1937. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Lipponier. It's been a pleasure.